Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, or good whenever you listen to this damn thing. I'm not Yasin Barnes, I'm Brad, and the guys have asked me to record a solo intro to our special behind-the-scenes episode this week. That's right, this week we've pulled together audio of us recording our content for Instagram and TikTok, and as you'll hear, took us on some awesome tangents which were too long for social media but too good to not share with you all. So enjoy this episode, which I will force Shadley to call Talking Cuck, Social Media Edition.
Guys, gaming news for today. We're going to talk about, well, for the week, Game Pass is getting a pretty significant price hike of like 25%. That's significant. And they're also changing like the whole structure of Game Pass. So like what's the thoughts on it?
I think it's right to have tiers only because it makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
And the thing of, you also realize, as with all of us, we all have different ways that we play games, what, and we play different games. Yeah. So sometimes I go, I'm not here for the expensive stuff. I'm here for the cheap ones.
Yeah.
And I don't need to spend all the money every month. That's my take on it, at least.
Yeah. I think, like, I know that the price hike is, it's, if you were feeling it already how it was, you're going to feel it more now, or you might be priced out. But I still think that it's still the biggest bargain in gaming, I think.
It is.
So if you, like, for example, if you just look, I think, like, if you look at the annual, it doesn't really go up by that much.
Yeah.
So how much how much is the top tier most expensive one that you can play a monthly for?
So Ultimate is going, and this is from BBC, like, so it's in pounds, so it's going up
the news station.
Yeah, so it's going up. Ultimate monthly goes up from £13 to £15.
£15 is how much then?
300.
Okay.
But the annual,
I think there is
the annual is like, is cost now costs like 1.5 instead of like 1.2 or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it's still the price of a game for the
year. So according to Tech Central, it goes the 1 month pass for Game Pass Gold will go from £79 to £99. A 3 month goes from £199 to £249. A 6 month goes from £319 to £399.
Okay, so that's
You feel it a little bit more, but I think that's just the core. So I'm thinking they're trying to push you on to Ultimate now.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's say you have Game Pass, right? Any one of them, and you download a game. Must you still pay? Are there still games you must buy? Or do you get games from there?
If it's not on Game Pass, you must buy it.
Yeah. And so if they take it off Game Pass, then you must buy it.
Is there any game you must buy and still have Game Pass to play also?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just streaming games, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
so like, for example, Hades was on Game Pass 2 years ago already. It's got taken off. And then I just bought it now again recently because I really lust to play it on the Xbox. So like, Game Pass for me is like, it's a way for me at least to try new games that I would never have bought in the first place. I honestly would never have played Hades if not for Game Pass. And now now I will buy Hades 2 day one when it releases on Xbox.
It's an unlimited contract by Mr. Video.
Basically. And then like,
I do think they are doing this because of like Call of Duty. Like that's one of the big things because it is releasing later this year. And there's also that announcement that Core won't have day one games.
Yeah.
So they obviously trying to push people to either buy the full game or to go on to Ultimate, which is a bit pricier, but like, they're like skimping a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know they said something like you can't stack it for like the next 13 months. So, you know, like PlayStation, you can buy like 5 annuals and then for 5 years you sort it.
Yeah. Cause then you avoid the price hikes.
Oh, yeah. But that's why they said like there's a 13 month cap. So, I don't know if they're going to do another price hike.
Do you have the pass for a PlayStation?
I have PlayStation's one.
Yeah. And you have?
I have both. Yeah.
Do you feel like you get your money's worth?
Yes.
Yes.
100%. I
think this is way more worth it than anything else.
But like, honestly, on both PS5 and Xbox, I don't buy games anymore. I just subscribe to PS Plus and Game Pass.
And you just
When I list to play a new game, I will go through those services first.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm the same. Unless it's something I really want to play. Yeah. And I know it's not available there. Then I'm like, okay, now I'll buy it.
Is it like Netflix and the Bioscope?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, I'll stay home first, see if Netflix has anything before I decide to, I'm
going to it's kind of the same.
More like Netflix and buying a DVD.
Mm. Yeah.
Because like with buying a DVD, it's yours to own forever. Whereas with Game Pass, you don't own it, you're renting it.
And if they take it off, then that then is gone.
Yeah.
You must buy it in any case.
But to me, it's still both.
It gives you access to a lot more than you would have had.
Yeah, exactly. And look, no one likes a price hike in anything. People were a little bit up in arms when PlayStation Plus up their fee a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, whatever.
Yeah.
People are up in arms now. But the people going, this is the death of Game Pass. I'm like, calm the fuck down, dude. Yeah. Like, it's not that deep.
I would say if they locked out a lot more features behind like Ultimate and Core, then there would be a bigger problem.
It doesn't feel scummy. Everything's fucking hiking their prices. Which sucks.
As much as you go like, they said they're not going to up the price of it and that. And games are expensive to make. And I think developers are also like, look here, we want more money out of this. We're not getting money from sales.
Because somebody is losing out by it being on Game Pass.
So. Yeah.
Somebody has.
So they have to make them a little bit more now.
But when they say it not day one, does that mean it's going to be like 6 months later or a year later?
At the later stage, if they decide to put it on Game Pass, then
Game Pass Core.
Yeah, then they will. Then you might have access. Okay. But it does push you to buy the game. Hmm. So if you say you have Game Pass Core, you like Call of Duty day one, you're going to have to either get Ultimate or you're gonna have to fork out for the full game.
But then, do you know what I mean? Like then it's still like Call of Duty Black Ops 6 is gonna be 1,600 rand.
That's an
annual thing of Game Pass. So and even if you're only gonna play Call of Duty, you're doing this, you're getting the same thing, and it's maybe even a little bit cheaper. It's not Game Pass isn't 1,600.
You're getting more
because then you can just if you want to go play Ori like we were talking about on the podcast, you can. And it's there.
Yeah.
And you can play Doom, the Dark Ages when it comes out next year. And you can play all of that on Game Pass. So
look, if they backtracked on a lot of the day one stuff and they said like, oh, we're actually not going to launch that, that would be a bit scammy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of the people that play COD are going to just go up to
They're either going
to
buy it.
Because like people who play COD generally only play COD.
They're gonna buy one
other game, so they're gonna.
They're gonna buy it, or they're gonna get Game Pass Ultimate, like, or they have a Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What's the big deal?
Complain? Yeah. You must still buy the petrol. If the petrol goes up, what must you do?
Exactly. Yeah. Although you need petrol more than you need Game Pass, but
people that play COD would
disagree. Yeah, very true.
Okay, gaming lore. In any open world game, you must open up the map before starting quests. So you must like go to all that vantage points first. Open. You must know where everything is first. See the map as much as possible.
Also, you must drive off a hill.
Yeah.
Like if it's an open world game, you must go find the highest hill and you must just drive off.
You must test the limits of what
the open world.
Yeah.
And
Another open world gaming lore is you must check every map marker, you know?
What do you mean?
Like you know,
Like,
you know, once the map markers are open, then it's like you must go see what all the hooters are. Like, I have to do that. That's my ADHD.
In some things, you can't do that in an Assassin's Creed game because they just kill you with all the markers.
That's why I stopped playing it because it's like I got to do it all.
They
it's
kill
like
you with too many markers.
I think also in open world is that you have to stand on every NPC mode of transport to see.
That's a must.
You must stand on it. If it's a train, you must stand on it. If it's a horsing cart, you must stand on it just to see.
You must see how far
before you fall off, or you can to see if you can stay on it and where it's going to take you also.
Or if they can fight you for no reason. And then another open world gaming lore, you must always complete all the side quests before continuing with the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Your side quests must be up by like 20%.
God leave.
A good 20% before you get into the game.
You must see to your side before you go to the main.
Yeah, you need to go into the main story levels OP.
Yeah.
So from doing the side quests, you've just got the biggest bazooka when you're fighting. Like
the boss talks smack to you and you just like one shot in there, like Yeah.
When they say,
shut up.
Oh, no, for this level, I'm going to give you a gun. And they give you a handgun with 5 bullets. But you go, don't worry. I got machine guns. Yeah. I got bazooka and I got grenades.
When they're like, you must be this level to go there. And you're like, okay, but like, I'm grossly over that level. Is it okay?
Yeah, it feels like you're doing something wrong.
Or go fetch the bike and use the bike to go there. Then you're like, a bicycle. Don't worry. I got a motorbike in my garage.
Okay, yeah, some stuff, no? Okay, let me get in front of the mic before Yasin shits on me. Yeah, some stuff, no, the kids don't remember. One of the things, no, is 350-50. You guys remember? 350-50 SMSs, like all that.
So, are you talking 350-50 from TV?
No.
350-50 from the book.
The book. I remember the book.
Polyphonics.
2 rand for a ringtone.
And then, but also there were some talented kids in class who knew how to write music using those buttons on the 3310. Could you write it on the 3310?
I don't think
so. I can't remember. I think there must have been a way.
No, there was a 3510 that you could write that. It never color screen. You just have it added different color screen. you could... basically go, oh, that's Ja Rule, and then beep, 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 and then they write Ja Rule. And then, but you could, from 350, the book is that you could download graphics.
Yeah. Your
tribal tattoos for your phone. It has Sweetie Pie in the middle there also.
those wallpapers were wild, and then you show your brother, see ya, and then it's like, is it this? Then you're like, nah, my bro.
They had the Novia Chappie, the Bad Boy Chappie, all of it was for your phone. That was the most modification you could do to your phone. That and swapping the back of your cover with your friend's cover. Because your friend have a blue phone, I have a red phone, different colors.
Do you know what? Something else that kids don't remember now is the age of just wild cell phone design. But
yeah.
Like Nokia's used to just come out with like the pineapple shape and like... the lipstick model.
A shell. And then they had a phone that flipped it and reversed it. That became like a hand camera from the one angle. Also, the numbering system was fucked up because it made no sense.
But it's like, this is the 3310. This is the 3330. Then ski luck, you know.
There's a 651. And then there's a 780. And then there's an N this and an N that.
And you're like, wow, what?
I still want the N-gauge though. I always wanted it.
The N-Gauge was your.
Never even played a game on there. Like,
yeah, Tony Hawk's. There was actual Tony Hawk's that came on there. They did have
and a Tomb Raider as well.
A
cartridge. Yeah. It was like a cartridge you had to buy and like put it in and like play.
I know somebody's overcharging for this thing on Facebook. You'll find it. Somebody's charging 10 grand for this on Facebook.
Was it that great? I think it was just like a novelty.
I think I had the 7610. Which was like the first 1 megapixel phone. Color screen, 1 megapixel look camera phone.
I had the 3650, which was that pineapple shape.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember.
I was just like, fuck it, that one. Like a weird looking
you
phone.
You guys all had Lani phones. I was like, I was deprived, man.
No,
I had to research what I had. A Sagem. MW3020.
What is Sagem?
Sagem.
I don't remember Sagem.
What the hell is Sagem? That sounds like something that's like in Booba.
Bro, I was like, everyone had Nokias and I came to school with a Sagem one day.
You're like, why is he taking it out?
So I had the brick, the 50, what is it? The
5210?
I don't know. I had that one for long, but to a point where I didn't go out with it because I was like, it's too big.
Yeah.
And then at one point, my mom was like, no, you need to go out to the phone. It's like, I'm not leaving the house without the phone. This is the phone that I want. And she's like, okay, you must get this Marx, all this other stuff. Like, all the things you must jump around. You must bring so much money. And I was like, okay, I got it. And then that was like my first Kwai phone.
Nice.
But at the time, it was just standard with what the other kids were rolling with. But yeah, it was a big jump. And then after that, I had a HTC. With a slide, with a keyboard on.
Sheesh.
Yeah. I had that actually in my first year at university. And I wrote, I think, a few assignments on it also.
Yeah, you were there for when I met you.
Yo.
You?
I was always behind on cell phones. Like, my first cool cell phone was like the Motorola
The Razer.
I never had a Razer. Motorola E3.
That's exactly my thing. This thing had MP3s on.
This was like the first phone I saw that had MP3s and it had lights on the side.
And it had such cool audio quality, I remember, yeah, dude. You could play it like straight from the
cell phone. And it had that wakeboarding game.
Yes.
That was my first cool cell phone.
But also Sony dominated cool phones.
Yeah.
Like proper. Yeah, if you think Sony of like when the music stuff, the music phones that they made,
yeah,
those were like top tier, like dope. And then Samsung, I think, was
they had like a good mid range of like utility. Yeah.
No, they were also top end.
I'd say they did everything. Like they did a bit of everything.
They had cool phones. It wasn't necessarily the best phones, but they had cool, like in terms of what cool kids were using.
It was enough. D500.
Yeah.
Yes, my dad had that one.
So you see, because it was like enough.
Had a D600 and they could flex on you because they had the one better than you.
Yeah. Like, but I remember the D500. Yo, that was
remember,
the
shit. Remember, those were the
what was the E250?
The E250 was the other one. I think my mom had that one also.
Do you remember the days when cell phones had like a small mirror next to the back camera? Yes. So you could see what your selfie would look like.
You couldn't see shit.
That's what just reminded me. Yeah.
This is the one, E250.
Oh, yes. That was like the...
I had that one as well.
Yeah. But was that...
Your mom and I have the same taste in cell phones.
But I feel like
that was almost like the budget version of the D500.
Yeah.
Because it was like a cheaper, but also a thinner...
That was definitely thinner. That one definitely came out. That was the phone I had in my trick. I remember that was my Mixit phone, man.
Yeah.
Bro, this phone cost 330 rand when it came out.
But isn't that per month?
That's
per month. It's a contract.
Is it?
Also, I was going to say. The other thing with the D500 is that the cool kids had the speaker that went with it also.
Yes.
There was a little one that
you
still.
But you could type in the code on your phone to make your phone louder.
Oh, yes, I have a good accent. But so there was a plug-in speaker that it had.
Yes.
That would boost. And then also people started putting like toilet rolls on it and stuff. Just to
putting it in bowls.
But phones were, I feel like once we got touch screens, they stopped having fun with phones.
Yeah.
Nah, I
got my first cool phone like when I was in grade 10. So it was this one. It was my first Android.
Yes.
What phone is it?
Motorola Flip Out.
That looks dope.
It was cool. I couldn't take videos. I didn't know that when I got it. I was like, why could I take videos on this phone, bro? I couldn't take photos. It's like the size of the palm of my hand. But it was liquor because it came with like four different back colors. I could take it and you could always just flip it. That was the thing. But they couldn't take videos.
They could still make that phone though.
They can. I still have this phone at home. It just doesn't turn on anymore.
Technically, actually, you must bring it next week for show and tell.
It's so liquor. Yo, that was not
so funny. To the people watching, what was your first cool phone? The first one that you were like, yay, I gotta move here.
Do you guys think you could still like text with the
not a damn. I do not have the patience.
No, I'll get frustrated.
It's too many buttons for that thing. But also it's wild like how that changed language or so.
But didn't you guys use predictive text? I used to use it on those phones.
Sage, you've never had predictive text?
Oh, so Jim's 2024 model's getting it out. It's coming soon.
Okay, the next one kids don't remember is just like my chat controllers. I feel like we don't get enough my chat controllers anymore. Like used to see all of that all the time at all the shops. But now it's like all
fake controllers are expensive now.
Yeah.
You might as well just
buy like a premium controller.
Yeah. No, but that thing of even I'll say the fake ones are premium ones. That's the thing. Because there isn't, you don't get to buy like a cheaper PlayStation 4 controller. The ones that's made by Alternate has other things on it.
There's like a threshold now where it goes from cheap but junk to like almost as good, but then that almost as good is almost the same price as the
original. So you might as well
just, because like, you don't spend like 800 rand on a fake controller.
Yeah.
So you might as well just wait a bit too long and...
And then just spend the grand.
Yeah.
The fake, what really saved us was the multi-tap. Fake multi-tap was actually the OG because no one could afford an actual multi-tap.
Here we go.
It worked. It was great.
Top.
Never gave us... Hey, that's no, standard.
It's top or tap. Multi-top. Is that a tap? That looks like an A.
I don't know.
It's both. It's a tap. That's
it's whatever you wanted it to be.
Tap. Yeah. A multi-tap. My jet stuff was always whatever you wanted it to be. It would give you that. And
it would work for like long enough.
The only problem was the controller. Those clear ones where you could see the motor run in. Yo. That stuff used to burn your hands because it would vibrate so much and so loud in your hand that it would feel like, you know, that the gorilla game that you must hold. It felt like that after a while.
Like they didn't calibrate the thing and then it was just...
But also that plastic was a...
That
plastic was horrible because it used to crack so quickly also.
Honestly, no, we don't need like cheap controllers anymore that you have to buy every like few months.
We're grateful they existed. We're grateful that we got to play with them. But we are grateful that we are done with him also.
So another thing kids don't remember are Prime TV ads. Like we've spoken about TV as a whole, but Prime TV ads and like things like the Glug Glug ad. Mm.
Oh, yes.
You remember like those?
And the question of who can make a biscuit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the baker's man.
I also found out that Mark Banks was the baker's man in that ad. And now whenever I see him, I go, you're the baker's man.
That's pretty wild. You just
I
like
can picture it and I'm like, yes, it is him. Obviously it's him. Yeah.
It was always him. I just never connected the two. But yeah, and then just TV ads. I feel like YouTube killed the TV ad.
Now we have no patience for ads.
When else did you watch TV that's not sport?
That's also true.
Yeah. YouTube killed TV.
No, so now we watch Love Island live and I actually, like we were saying, I miss TV. Like, to watch a TV ad is nice.
But foreign TV ads are weird.
Mad.
Yeah. So weird.
Like, if you ever watch, like, American TV ads, it's like, what?
And it's also always pills in America.
So people in this, like, they somehow just say, we are not like this other company. I'm like, what? You can do that.
So the UK ads, and I think it's the American also, there's a lot of, like, admin at the bottom. There's always text of, like, some contractual
thing. Yeah, SMS this.
Like, the product sold is not the same as you want to see. But it's always like a disclaimer.
That you can't sue them.
Yeah. Then the other thing is, I noticed the UK ads love a gimmick, like a character that's different from the setting and that's dressed vibrantly every fucking ad. And then they also backward because they still have talking animals. And I was like, we are done with this fucking meerkat.
The meerkat
from Vodacom. Yeah. They're still using that stuff. I go, no, guys, we have moved on.
We had the best ads because do you remember like the Izinyoka?
Yeah, Izinyoka is you. Crazy. You know that one?
I know the ad, but I don't remember. I know the...
And then it was the guy that used to steal the power cables. And then at one shot, when they look in his eyes. And
it goes like, to snake eyes and it goes back.
I don't remember that.
We're going to find it. They play it for you. and then there was that Raj and what you call
Krimora
it? The
Krimora ads.
Yeah, the Corsa ads were fire.
The Corsa ads were always...
It was also funny. Like, and written also very dirty.
It was smart.
There was a Fanta ad also. I just remember the one scene where the guy was going through the house and he goes through the girl's clothes and he lifts up a dress, but it's just on a hanger. And you just hear the sound of a cat when he does it. And I was, in retrospect, I go, that's a dirty joke. And then they went on with like, the Phantom will find you or some shit. And I go, okay.
Remember the Nothing Tastes Like Fresca ads?
Yeah. Also,
I need to fucking drink Fresca again. I've been obsessing over...
Because of the boys.
It. Huh?
Because of the boys.
No. I just... Every time it comes up in like American TV and stuff like that, I'm like, or movies, I'm like... I used to love Fresca.
I can't remember what it tastes like.
Me neither, because nothing tastes like it.
I didn't know we ever had it yet. I never tasted it.
It was that like the yellow and purple can and like, oh man.
Yeah, they used to have like a green, the green one.
The yellow and like...
The guy of Nothing Tastes Like Fresca.
I don't know.
He's a comedian, right?
That
was him, yes.
Yeah, he's a comedic actor.
Yes.
And his dad used to do the Vodacom ads.
Bro, I've never seen this before in my life.
Fresca. No, that was ours. Yeah, that one.
I've never seen this before in my life.
This is a child.
No, he's a child. Never seen Fresca.
Man, those premium TV ads, like we still remember them now.
Yeah.
Like that's when ad agencies were just killing, well, they're still, I guess, but like.
Now they're just killing their stuff. Luckily, I'm editing this so I can cut it out.
Feed them cocaine. don't pay your service providers.
Overwork them.
Also, the thing of us saying Cape Town runs on alternative energy, cocaine.
Who needs food?
The real, I'm a glug.
So we're going to do some top threes now. And the first one, I want to know, what are your top three favorite gaming controllers?
Ooh.
Controllers or peripherals?
No, controllers. We'll do peripherals another time. And yes, you can count the Guitar Hero controller as a controller and not a peripheral, because it's technically a controller. You can play other games with it.
Okay, I'll take that then. That's okay. My number one. I still love the PS3 controller, I'm not going to lie.
Bring out the PS3 there. I want to see what the PS3 look like. I feel like I can't.
And then in PS2 terms of,
without a wire.
Yeah.
Really, I think I'm stuck on those two, to be honest.
Yeah.
Does a Game Boy count as a...
No handhelds, because that's like a whole console, yeah, basically.
Okay.
Well, the Switch Pro controller is nice. I like it.
Yeah. So that's your top three?
I think so, yeah.
I would go with the Wii controller.
Oh, that's
the Wiimote.
The Wiimote was fun because it was a simple block. It could do multiple things by turning it around.
Yeah, Wiimote. Yeah.
Also, you could use it in one direction and to the side as well. Mm-hmm. What else would I add? I'm going to add the SNES controller.
Yeah.
The SNES controller felt like a good quality controller. There was a good weight to it.
Also good colors. Like the gray and the purple were like popping.
And then I want to say Switch, but the
Joy-Cons.
The Joy-Con. But also the Joy-Con with the... But then it falls by the handheld.
You can say Joy-Con if you want to say.
Yeah.
Joy-Cons are good though. Like when they don't have drift, they are good.
Yeah.
They really are.
And they also, again, it's comfortable. It's got a little buttons, but you don't feel like you have less game with the buttons.
Also, like it's just like when you play, you can sit however you're comfortable. So like when I was playing Hades on your Switch, I would use the Joy-Cons and I would just... My hands were nowhere near each other. I would just like sit like I would just sit down and wherever my hands landed naturally.
That's how you play.
I would just play like that and I could still.
I was using a Switch as well. I also might have been your whoever's. Yeah. I had the one Joy-Con in this hand and I was literally sitting like this with the other Joy-Con. Yeah, and it felt super natural. I was just playing like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Works. But on the worst one is the N64.
We'll circle back to that because that's universal.
Yeah.
I do N64. Yeah. Anyway, what's yours?
The DualShock 2. The DualShock 2, definitely. DualShock as well. Let's put them into one. DualShock and DualShock 2. Like, so good. Like, it just feels right. Sony got that right. Like, then I'm going to say PS3 controller would have been there, but you took it. So
I said PS3.
Sorry, yes. PS3 one I meant. Yeah, sorry, yeah. PS3 controller as well. Because the cool
it's
thing,
small. Like small. It's small.
What I loved about it as well was the new motion.
The six axis.
And like when I was playing Uncharted and the torch started going out, then you shake it. And then
like The Last of Us. Also, you must,
sorry,
like,
that's what I meant. The Last of Us. Uncharted did something like that as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But then I will say as my second one, so the DualShocks are one, DualShock 1 and 2. Then I will say I really loved the Xbox 360 controller. I looked at it recently and it's fuck
ugly.
Is
it the round one?
No, that's
OG Xbox.
Oh, okay. That thing looks hideous.
Xbox 360 is also pretty hideous. I saw mine the other day and I'm like, oh, like, is this what I... But I still have the nostalgia to it, the colorful buttons, they're like the Y, B, A, and X buttons. Like, I just love how the colors popped on it.
Yeah.
And also the Xbox 360 controller was my first Xbox. It was my first Xbox, obviously. And so like, it was just different to the PlayStation. And then I love the DualSense controller.
Kind
I really
Xbox
do.
Which one?
The DualSense, the PS5 controller.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so premium, actually, man.
Yeah. I haven't spent enough time with that to like give it
just,
a
just actually, the
But like, yeah, whenever you use
the,
it.
The triggers just feel so adaptive. And like, it just feels like, obviously with the, what's the word I'm looking for now? With the vibrations and all that shit.
Oh, the haptics.
Yeah, with the haptic feedback on the, in the DualSense, it elevates the game. And leaps and bounds better than the current Xbox generation controllers.
Also, if you play the just even the robot game,
Astros.
So much like you learn like how fun the controller actually is, and the possibilities of the controller.
Yeah. Like so Brad, you actually have two of my three. Sorry. The PS2, which I think is like it was just such a good, like,
it still feels like
it was also a big jump from the PS1.
It felt like they nailed everything that they were trying to do with the DualShock 1.
Yeah.
And they just like, they made a premium controller.
Yeah. It's still liquor to play with to this day.
It really is.
It's just like,
really
it just depends on how, in what
it's
condition your one is.
Yeah.
But it's so liquor. It's still liquor. Actually, I put that over PS3 for me.
Did it set the benchmark for so controllers? Like yes, no.
I'd say like in terms of quality, I think.
Because it was between N64 and PS2. Those two were running at the same time, right?
No, it would have been GameCube and PS2.
True.
Yeah.
And the GameCube controller is pretty fire.
It is.
Nintendo's controllers are weird, but I like them.
Yeah. They just do their own thing. Yeah. So then the other one is the DualSense, because I think they do a lot with it.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel gimmicky.
Exactly.
Like even the speaker in the controller to like add those additional sounds in like for gameplay, like in The Last of Us Part 2, where you like hear people's conversations and things. Yeah. Like it feels premium. Mm-hmm. Like you're getting a full experience through your controller.
I think it's also in the game uses the control to its full extent.
Yes.
Then you realize, oh, how good the control
which is. The DualSense just does. It's so good. I love the DualSense elevates the game you're playing every time.
I'll be honest. I really thought it was just going to be a gimmick. Me too. And I'm not disappointed. Like they really, like they use it to its like fullest extent. And then like my final one is the original, well, not original, but the NES controller. Like
I was just about to give that a special shout out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the TV game, the family.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's just an OG.
That's
why like,
everybody learned to play games.
But also, that shit was stronger than it should have been because mine used to fall a lot. And then also, rage quitting Mario was a real thing.
Yeah. But like for such like a rectangular, sharp object, it was like pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, easy to control, four buttons, Alice.
And then on the list of controllers that I hate, first it's N64 and then also steering wheels at home were always nonsense. Like I've never played on someone's steering wheel and I'll go, oh, this feels, it always feels like cuck. Like you turn and then it just like it lifts from the platform. It's this was never a nice experience.
You've got to use a steering wheel with like a racing sim rig.
Yes.
Like when we played it at the Interlan, that Logitech, I can't think of the exact model or whatever, but that Logitech steering wheel also had haptics in it, so when you crash, you can feel the vibrations in it and stuff. That's nice.
But when it's on your desk in the family computer room.
Yeah. When you must sit with that steering on your lap.
Yeah.
In that couch.
And it's racing like it's a mini.
You have one here somewhere.
That's basically like a whole different console that you have to play for.
Fuck.
So another top three. I want to know. Forgotten titles, games that you feel like nobody speaks about.
That other one, man.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, no, I forgot
you know
the title
what
now.
About now.
I'm going to say the one that I said.
Are you going to?
Yeah. Okay. Serious Sam.
Oh.
Just the only reason that I think I still remember it is because it always pops up in those videos where people talk about what developers did to stop cheating.
Yeah.
Because you know, like it has that thing where there's like this giant scorpion
that starts chasing,
you. So like I always remember it because it's always in those videos. But like I always used to see that game at CNA and I always wanted to play it, but I could never get the game, so I never played it. So I think that's the first thing that comes to mind for games that nobody remembers. Also, Pitfall. You guys play Pitfall?
Yo.
Pitfall.
I can picture the cover.
So the Pitfall, I think it was the Lost Expedition was like the game I got with my PS2. So I played that all the time. And it was cool because you got like, I actually want to play it again now that I'm saying it. But like you get abilities and like the game starts off with you fighting like a leopard or something. And then you're about to beat the leopard and then it cuts back to, because that's like the end of the game. And then it cuts back to the start of the game. And it's so cool.
What's the movie with, fuck, there's going to be, let's go on this trip quickly so that my mind can get you.
Do you have another one? Add to your top three.
It's supposed to be three. Another one will come to mind and then I'll just shout it out at a random moment.
This really is a forgotten game because I can't remember the name of it.
Explain it.
So I'm going to explain it and it's going to sound terrible. Okay.
Okay.
You play as a homeless person, a wisecracking homeless person who has a dog. And it's very non-politically correct, the whole game. And then aliens invade Earth and you have to like fuck up the aliens in the neighborhood while it's like almost like semi open world sandbox. I'll try to find it now. I search
home. Is it the FPS?
Oh. Third person. It's almost like I feel like it was cel shaded.
And what console was
it
on?
I played it on PC. I think it was a PC game.
I was thinking now, is it Postal?
Not Postal.
Because I know Postal is very non-PC.
Yeah, no. It's same kind of shitty humor as Postal.
Man. Was Pitfall not Uncharted?
No.
It's like, it's similar vibes because they explore this, but it's very different.
No, I know it's different, but it feels like they were like, whenever I saw Uncharted, I was like, I know this game from somewhere. And I realized like it has the same outfits and the same aesthetic as Uncharted and Pitfall.
Okay, I need to find this now.
Sadly, what was the revolutionary game? It was a four-player. You played basically...
yes, I know which one you're talking about.
I know you know. Is that Revolutionary Fighters or...
Freedom Fighters.
Freedom Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom Fighters is my forgotten one that I miss because it just gave a different kind of love. But also because we played it multiplayer. Yeah,
and it was liquor.
And I could beat the people in the room. I'm here for that. On the other note, did you see Steam allows you to play co-op games online? Yes.
I sent that to the...
Did you send
it? Yeah, I sent it.
I was like, that's such a dope mechanic we must...
Do you have any others for your forgotten games? Or did you just forget them?
I forgot them.
Here you go.
We're all sitting on our phones going through this, trying to find out what the name
is. I found it. The game is called American McGee's Bad Day LA.
American McGee. He made Alice, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird...
I've only ever seen that. The cover, right?
I've never seen that before.
No. So I played the demo and I don't think I was ever able, because I think it was quite an 18 plus game kind of thing. Yeah. I think my dad walked into the room once when I was playing it. He's like, what the fuck is this?
When he walks out, and he's just like, I don't know.
You should play it now and give us a retro.
I think I will. Yeah. American McGee's Bad Day LA.
He did the Alice.
Yes. I think, yeah.
I can't forget that name.
Yeah.
Also BMXXX. We did speak about it recently, but it is a game that went unnoticed.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the game itself, and because it had adult humor and I was a child and I go, yo, this fun stuff.
Do you think a forgotten game could be Disney's Tarzan, or was that too popular?
I feel like we know that.
Yeah.
Too many people play.
I feel like if you say the name and people know the game, it's not a forgotten.
I played it recently. It's quite cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
Still stand the
it's very basic platforming and stuff like that.
It's on the Nvidia course.
Nice.
Yeah, you must get the Amazing Classic and then go through all of the damn games.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I've forgotten them. Yeah.
So for me, my top three, I'd say it's Earthworm Jim.
No
one talks about
it. No, but you see, if you say it, all played it. I don't know if it's forgotten.
It got mentioned recently in one of our posts and people commented about the game though. So I don't think.
I feel like no one talks about it anymore. Like it's just.
I guess in that way it's forgotten.
It's an old game. That's why that's why we don't talk about it.
Jazz Jack Rabbit.
That's another one.
But it's a name where you say that the game and people know it's immediately games. The thing of you. But I feel like a forgotten game is when I must remind you.
So here's a game that I know you guys won't know. And it has two names. So I'm going to give you both. One is Chase the Express and the other one is COVID Ops Nuclear Dawn.
Ooh.
So that is like, it's sort of like in that Resident Evil style, but... Imagine under siege, you like a lone NATO agent, terrorists have taken over this nuclear train. And yeah, you can figure it out. You got to stop it.
Okay. Cool.
And basically, you have to make your way through the train. And it's not a great game. It's not like a great game, but it's like just fun for like one or two playthroughs. Mm. And I think that's kind of why it didn't get the fanfare, because it was also like competing against like Resident Evil and all of those things. Yeah. But I enjoyed it for the most part. I can't even tell you like who the main character is.
And what was the other game where you played? You were four guys with different skills.
The A-Team. I don't know.
You just Commandos.
Commandos.
When you clicked and then you send one guy. Commandos.
Yeah, they all had to do like specific tasks.
Yeah, Commandos is also a game I enjoyed briefly. And
I got another one. Theme Hospital. I was too young to understand how to play the game well. But it was funny.
You were just killing people.
Theme Hospital and Theme Park.
It was really funny.
Theme Park was cool.
Go play 2 Point Hospital. It will scratch that itch. I have it on Switch. So like if you want to play it.
I might have to play it. I used to love.
I'm actually going
to
go find the.
I used to love that hospital game.
the theme park. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I actually played it on PlayStation also.
And then you add more salt to the chips, then you hike up the price of the drink. Yeah, easy trick.
And then you could also ride the roller coaster. You could watch like a first person version and speed it up and slow it down or so small but fun.
Like my final game, but it's like a franchise that is like dead now, is the Strike series. So Desert Strike, Urban Strike, Jungle Strike. Basically, you like
the helicopter,
and then they give you missions and that. But there's like a lot of cool mechanics for like Sega, like that Sega era. Mm. Like you had to manage your fuel, you had to save hostages on like a time limit. Oh. The later ones, you actually got to get out of the helicopter and do missions inside of buildings and stuff.
Yeah. But also, the graphics was dope. Even on the Game Boy, it had a very 3D feel.
It did. But it was difficult.
Yeah. It's also on the Ambonic. Okay. That you just try and play it before you give
it to. Which game is this now?
The Strike series. So you can look for Desert Strike, Urban Strike.
Do you know what game? I got on a demo disc. I never played it. So like there was a Nerf game also now. I don't know if you guys know that. It's basically like Quake 3, but it's a Nerf game. Yes, so it's all Nerf guns.
Yeah.
Which was super cool. I got that on like a PC format or something. And then there was this game, Heavy Metal Fact 2. I don't know if you...
I've never heard of it.
So Heavy Metal was like a magazine back then. Back in the
Shall
day,
we?
I guess.
Shall like a-
so like this is the game, Heavy Metal Fact 2.
Okay.
So it's like... So it's, no it was
I've
just
never
like...
Seen that.
I don't know how far the game could go because it was a demo. It was only like the one stage. But you could basically just do what... Like you could run... That was like the first time I think I played a game where you could just... To whatever, like a proper, they had like an open world feel.
We need to find that game.
So you could just run around. But the other thing is, I don't think I should have played that game at that time.
We saw the post.
Well, we saw the cover.
I don't think it was like, I don't
age
think
appropriate.
It was. Yeah.
But okay, we are over 18 now. We need to find the game.
So like, Heavy Metal wasn't.
So if you're going to disqualify Earthworm Jim, I do have another game that is obscure and is like no one remembers.
This is the magazine.
Another magazine,
Heavy Metal.
And it's a PS1 game and it's called Spider the Video Game. You literally play as a spider. You get a whole bunch of weapons.
Yes.
Like you can have four weapons on the on its like first four like legs.
I remember watching you play it.
It's such a cool game.
But I do remember having fun watching you though. Yeah. It looked like a lot of fun.
Do you remember that game where you were a baby? What's it? That Messiah? What is it? Messiah or something?
What the fuck? It's the opening level of Fallout 3.
Fallout is how this game starts.
There was also that Area 51 game.
I vaguely remember that.
What was the game?
That alien on the cover. That's all.
Where you played God and you controlled the monster.
Black and white.
Yeah, which is also very weird. But then there was another one where you could make a monster, but you had to like almost like
this game, Messiah.
That was weird. I remember.
I remember the cover. I never played it.
No, I also remember the cover.
There was other. Basically, you had to make a monster, but you had to breed it with other monsters.
That's Unreal Creatures, I think it's called.
Yeah,
spoke about that on thing.
Yeah,
so, I think
very weird games.
There's a game that just popped into mind now. It's called Rise of the Triad.
Yes,
it's a Doom clone. But I remember it's almost like a different version of Wolfenstein. Like I feel like you're fighting Nazis. But like you can pick between four characters.
And they all have different powers, don't they?
Yeah, and you're in this weird world where like there's moving platforms and you must jump and collect items. It's like Doom Clone mixed with Sonic.
I know, Edith. You will recognize the cover.
Yeah, it was very like, and they remastered it recently and they re-released it on Steam and the modern consoles. I don't think I'd play it on console. It's definitely a PC game, in my opinion. It's very much like first person.
Yes.
Impossible creatures.
I didn't play that.
Yeah.
I always see.
But in that time of gaming, there was a few versions of that also where there was like that's the creatures, then there was a monsters one. There was that black and white also fell into that same world of making new things.
Yeah, I remember the cover of that.
Yeah, I remember that too, yeah.
There's a game, I know it was on the demo, and I've never played the full game. It was a PS1 demo, Life Force Tinker. It was a first person shooter. If I pull up a screenshot, you guys will.
What's it called?
Life Force Tinker. I'm
reading here, it says Rise of the Triad, but I didn't see the T, and I'm just seeing Rise of the Riad. What game is that? The other thing is, there was a Metroid.
It looks like that.
Sorry. I've never seen this before in my life.
I just remember that being on the demo.
Okay.
with regard to the, there was a Metroid also. I think I played it on PC. That had kind of like graphics on it where there was like a cow stage.
I would hope, yeah.
What? The original one was just lines. Did you play that one?
No.
Yeah, we old in this house. Then, but then there was one where there was like a cow shaped stage, like a cow shaped asteroid, and then there was like different. There was a cheese asteroid as well.
That sounds like Earthworm Jim.
I don't mind Metroid.
Not Metroid, asteroid.
Oh, okay. But I still haven't played
it. I still didn't.
When you said Metroid, I was confused.
No, yes, Yasin has stabbed us now. We are stabbed.
Asteroid, it was a version of Asteroid that.
If you know which one this is, yeah,
let me know, please. Yeah. I don't want to be alone and crazy.
There's one game. So I'm going through. I had this disc that I borrowed from a friend, like a PC disc, but like. It didn't only have it was a big, like it had a lot of demos on it, but if you dug deep enough, it had a shitload of folders that you had to dig deep into and then you can find random games. Like,
what?
I'd still to this day, I don't know what kind of a disc, it was a copy disc as well. So it wasn't like an official anything, but there were games on there, like Rise of the Triad was on there. There was the Simpsons Doom on there. So it was like a Doom mod where like you're shooting Flanders and like Flanders is like throwing Bibles at you, like, but it's still the same noises of the Doom monsters. But there was also a game on there called Monster Bash. And that was,
I've never heard of this.
Basically side scrolling 2D game where your dog, you're like this kid, your dog is kidnapped by these demons.
Mm-hmm. I have never ever seen
it. And I bought it again recently because it was remastered. But and your only weapon is a slingshot. And then you're running through this and zombies come at you and you're shooting rocks at them and then you get bigger rocks, you blow their heads off. And it's very bloody and quite gory.
Did you have fun the first time you played it?
Yeah.
Did you have fun with the remastered one?
I actually did.
Here we go.
Yeah. We got a good title on our hands then.
It's really good. Monster Bash. And I think I paid like $2 for it on Good Old Games. So... Yeah.
The other one, I think it still falls part of it, is Elevator Action.
I fucking forgot about that. Yo, there you go. Yo. We found it.
Yeah, I see that locked up, baby.
Because there's two versions. There's one.
I'm scared to Google Elevator Action. I don't know.
Elevator Action. There was two versions. There's one that was single, like one person plays the stage. Then there was one where there was two people could play at the same time. Yes. And that one, again, it's on the Ambonic and it's fire.
And you have to be careful. This game looks familiar.
It was on NES.
It was a NES version, but there was an arcade version.
Wasn't there there was a fake version, like a different version of this game?
Yeah, there's a few iterations of it. But Elevator Action was a fire side scroller. Because also you could just go to the next level and skip a whole level of shooting.
Amazing. People. Yo, I totally forgot about that. Guys, on that note, we have to wrap up.
Yes. Yeah. Shot.
We recorded like a whole podcast now. That's right, Past Brad. We did record a whole podcast episode while talking cuck, which is pretty much what we do every week. But anyway, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Coffee and Controllers. See you next week, where we will talk about how gaming has changed from when we were kids. See you then. Bye.